All right. At 3:02 p.m., the Senate Natural Resources Committee will come to order. Will the Secretary please take the roll?
Vice Chair Small.
Here.
Vice Chair Flowers.
Here.
Senator Ankeny.
Here.
Senator Brown.
Here.
Senator Cohenour.
Present.
Senator Gillespie.
Here.
Senator Hoven.
Here.
Senator Jacobson.
Here.
Senator Lang.
Here.
Senator Lynch.
Here.
Senator Pomnikowski.
Here.
Chairman Wellborn.
He's excused. He'll be back. All righty. Thank you. So just first off, for those of you in the room, if you've got a cell phone, please make sure it's turned off or at least on silent. If you're testifying today in favor or opposed, whatever, outside the door is a list. Sign up. Please realize everything said during the hearing is public testimony. We have Senate Resolution 51, Senate Resolution 52, and Senate Resolution 53. We're going to do them in order. And we will take your proponents, which are in the room first, proponents on Zoom, and then opponents in the room first, opponents on Zoom, and informational. We'll go that way. So if you guys don't mind, we'll take a brief recess until the chairman shows up because he's the ones presenting the bills. Thank you. All right, sorry about that delay. Everybody can put their pitchforks away. The man of the hour has shown up. So with that being said, we're going to go out of order. We'll start with 53. Sorry about the brief interruption, everyone. And with that being said, Senator Wellborn, would you like to present Senate Resolution number 53?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Thanks you so much for your patience. I always forget how dang many members there are in the House, and they've all got lots of questions. So anyway, I'm here to open up on Senate Resolution number 53, which would be the confirmation hearing on the governor's appointment to Department of Natural Resources and Conservation, Amanda Castor. I will sit down and yield my time for the introduction to our Lieutenant Governor, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Lieutenant Governor Juris.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Kristen Juris, J-U-R-A-S, and I am here on behalf of Governor Gianforte, honored to introduce Amanda Castor, Governor Gianforte's nominee to serve as the Director of the Department of Natural Resources and Conservation. As you know, Governor Gianforte worked hard after his election to review and interview applicants for each of his 12 agency appointments. We received more than 50 applications for this particular position. It's important the DNRC manages our state trust lands, administers the state's water rights, provides assistance to local governments, agencies, and private citizens for conservation and management of the state's natural resources, and works hard to maintain and improve the health of Montana's forests. Ms. Castor worked as a natural resource advisor to former Montana Representative Zinke. In 2017, she transferred to the Department of Interior, working on legislative activities for the department before becoming the acting chief of staff of the Bureau of Land Management, which, as you know, manages, owns over 8 million acres in Montana. During her time with Representative Zinke and the BLM, Ms. Castor worked daily on natural resource issues facing Montanans. She brings a hands-on style of administration to the agency, knows how to implement theories and ideas into reality. Both Representative Zinke and Secretary Bernhardt highly recommended Ms. Castor as someone who gets the job done, noting her administrative skills and her knowledge of natural resource issues. Governor Gianforte strongly supports Ms. Castor for the position of the Director of DNRC and respectfully requests her confirmation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have proponents in the room?
Chair Wellborn and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to appear before you today. For the record, my name is Amanda Castor, spelled K-A-S-T-E-R, and I am the governor's nominee for director of the Department of Natural Resources and Conservation. I am incredibly appreciative of this amazing opportunity to serve the people of Montana and the governor's cabinet, for the kind introduction from Lieutenant Governor Juris, and for the support I have received from stakeholder groups across the state. Much of my drive and passion for public service is due to my family. I was born and raised in an Air Force family and had a remarkable childhood traveling the world. My dad, Lieutenant Colonel Mark Castor, served our great nation in uniform for over 32 years. And as a child growing up in that environment, I learned from a young age what it truly meant to put service before self. I continue to embody that very creed today. I owe my dad, my mom, Tracy, and my siblings, Abby and Matt, so much more than I can put into words, but above all, I am grateful for their love and unending encouragement. I am also indebted to my wonderful husband, Chris, who has unwaveringly supported me and who, without hesitation, agreed to relocate us to Helena to support my career. I have worked on energy and natural resources issues for the past decade, but my first introduction to the great state of Montana was when I served for Congressman Ryan Zinke as his energy and natural resources staffer. It was in this capacity that I engaged with incredible Montanans from all walks of life to advance critical priorities, like fighting for permanent reauthorization of the Land and Water Conservation Fund, promoting active forest management in our national forests, and protecting Montana's jobs and way of life. I was also fortunate during this time to travel to many of its communities, from Plentywood to Libby, and develop lasting relationships across the state that will serve me well as I lead the DNRC. Our hard work in the House was quickly recognized when Congressman Zinke was nominated to be the U.S. Secretary of the Interior. Before he was confirmed, I was fortunate to go over to Interior as part of the team that began to get the department prepared for the new administration. I served at that time as an advisor in Zinke's Office of Congressional and Legislative Affairs, where I supervised congressional and legislative activities for agencies such as the Bureau of Land Management, Bureau of Reclamation, and Bureau of Indian Affairs. In the summer of 2018, I joined the Bureau of Land Management, and within a month on the job was made the Acting Chief of Staff, a role I performed for nearly 2 years. In that capacity, I supervised the day-to-day operations of the agency, with over 9,000 employees spread across the West, and advised leadership and other staff, both in headquarters and in the field, on the development of programs, policies, and activities, ranging from rulemakings to categorical exclusions to policy guidance. My work at the BLM truly captured the multiple use mandate of the agency as laid out in the Federal Land Policy and Management Act. I led policies to protect, expand, and enhance recreational access to public lands, facilitate practices for vegetation management within rights-of-way to reduce fire risk, and enhance the BLM's toolkit to effectively fight fires with tools such as salvage treatments, pinyon juniper removal, fuel breaks, and targeted grazing. Beyond these policies, I enacted measures to create efficiencies in the agency to better serve the American people. One of the issues I saw at the department was delayed internal review times for Federal Register notices. These notices announce critical activities to the public, like opportunities to provide comment on a whole host of issues, from land tenure actions to environmental impact statements. They are essential for projects to be finalized, which in turn means jobs are created and local economies are bolstered. The Secretary tasked the BLM to make that process more efficient. So when I arrived at the BLM, I saw an opportunity to take that direction from the Secretary and execute it. In my time as the Acting Chief of Staff, I instituted changes and worked with staff to decrease the time it took for the headquarters office to review these notices from an average of 22 days to 3.1 days by the time I transitioned positions. This is just one example of many efforts I undertook to make the federal government more responsive to the people it serves. In the spring of 2020, the Secretary promoted me to be the Acting Deputy Assistant Secretary for Land and Minerals Management, where I continued to lead the efforts I started in the BLM, as well as the formulation of key policy priorities for the department. Throughout my tenure at Interior, I continue to work on issues of importance to Montana, including implementation of the Great American Outdoors Act, which is successfully funding key infrastructure projects across public lands in the state, expanding critical active management treatments to reduce fuel loads, including prescribed burns in eastern Montana, promoting outcome-based grazing to ensure healthy rangelands, high-quality wildlife habitat, and economically sustainable ranching operations, and finalizing important acquisitions to provide permanent public access to places like the Lower Blackfoot River. What has brought me to Montana is a love for the state and an innate drive to share my skills and experience. As laid out by the governor in his Montana Comeback Plan, my overarching priorities for the DNRC during my tenure, if confirmed, include, first and foremost, active forest management. As the governor stated in his State of the State address, it is critical to bring more federal acres under treatments to prevent catastrophic wildfires, have healthier forests, improve wildlife habitat, and bring back some of our good-paying Montana timber jobs. The DNRC Forestry Division has made some tremendous strides using the Good Neighbor Authority program. In light of the over 9 million high-risk acres across the state, I want to build on these successes and use other tools to expand our active management footprint. Working with partners will be key in making headway on this important issue. Second, I am committed to enhanced customer service. While the DNRC manages natural resources, we also interface on a daily basis with people and communities who rely on these resources. I am excited to create opportunities for the public to better understand what the DNRC does and to provide the tools necessary to enhance our communications. And third, Per the governor's first executive order, cutting red tape and bureaucracy is an important effort to streamline operations, promote economic development, and create jobs. This is a top priority for me, and the feedback from staff and stakeholders is a critical part of this process. Committee members, I am so humbled to be appearing before you today, and I appreciate your consideration of my nomination. If there is one thing I hope I have conveyed to each of you, both today and in our meetings over the past few weeks, it is that I have a deeply rooted passion for these incredibly important issues. That passion informs my approach to how I have led in my previous capacities and how I will lead the DNRC. Though I was not born in Montana, it is a place of great importance to me. I have a profound appreciation for keeping public lands in public hands and responsibly developing our energy and natural resources to expand Montana's economy. My pledge to you is this: I will serve the people of Montana as the director of the DNRC with the same passion, drive, creativity, strong work ethic, and enthusiasm that have been the hallmarks of my professional career. I will lead with the important perspective that while we manage natural resources, we affect the day-to-day lives of Montanans because we are the conduit to create jobs, foster economic growth, and support livelihoods. I will work hard every day to ensure the Treasure State achieves its full potential, and I will lead the department in a transparent, ethical, and collaborative manner. I am excited to listen to, learn from, and work with my employees and our stakeholders, constituents, and federal, state, and local partners to lead this agency forward. I am prepared to tackle tough issues, fulfill the governor's priorities, and be a change agent for this important agency. And I am ready to get to work. Thank you. I am available to answer any questions.
All righty. Thank you. Do we have more proponents in the room?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Alan Olson. I'm the executive director of the Montana Petroleum Association, representing almost 200 petroleum-related companies doing business in this state, including landowners and mineral owners. Mr. Chairman, I've known Ms. Castor for a number of years, and she has been super to work with. I got to admit, there's times she's been rather blunt with me on federal issues. But at the same time, she's also taken the time to explain to me why. She's accessible. She answers her phone. She returns phone calls. She answers emails. The knowledge that Ms. Castor is going to bring to this department is just fantastic. She will do a good job. She knows the value of what public lands can contribute to the state of Montana. And it's not just oil and gas leases, it's coal leases, it's ag leases, it's across the board. Money that goes to fund public education in Montana. As many of you know, funding's getting a little short to come by these days. But if we can generate revenue from school trust lands to help fund education, that goes a long ways to easing your burdens when it comes time to find money. Mr. Chairman, Ms. Castor, like I said, will do an outstanding job as Director of the Department of Natural Resources, and we wholeheartedly support her nomination. Thank you.
Thank you. More proponents?
Mr. Vice Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Bud Clinch, C-L-I-N-C-H, and I appear before you today to speak in support of Senate Resolution 53 to confirm Amanda Castor as the Director of the Department of Natural Resources and Conservation. Some of you may or may not know, but from 1993 to 2005, I served as the Director of the Department of Natural Resources and Conservation. And over those 12 years and three terms with governors, I got an intimate knowledge of what it takes to deal with the complex issues before this agency and all of the natural resources that they manage. I also had the privilege of being selected by Governor Gianforte to serve on his transition team to help screen and look at the applicants for this position. As Lieutenant Governor Juris has said, we had nearly 50 applications that those of us on the team reviewed the resumes, the applications, the references intimately, and had multiple discussions about all of those applicants. It goes without saying unequivocally, Amanda Castor was our number one pick, and I think the presentation that she just gave you a few moments ago substantiates my reason for throwing my entire support behind her. Oftentimes it's thought that the director needs to be an expert in forestry or in water or in land management. The department is filled with experts. The director needs to be someone that can digest the rules, the regulations, the policies, the opinions, the presentations by staff, by opponents, by a wide variety of people. And they need to be able to digest that information and sort it out and help the department make responsible decisions regarding the management of those resources. I have full confidence that Amanda Castor is the best person for this position, and I strongly urge you for a due pass on Senate Resolution 53. Thank you.
Thank you. More proponents?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Dave Galt, and I'm here on behalf of myself. I've had the pleasure to cross paths with Director Castor numerous times in my work with the Montana Petroleum Association and afterwards, and I'm just astonished at how, A, how quick she picks things up, and B, how tenacious she is to find a solution. And I think she'll make a great director, and I appreciate you letting me testify. I also have a letter here on behalf of the Montana Mining Association. I'll drop off for the record. Thank you.
Thank you. More proponents.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Nicole Rolf, R-O-L-F, representing the Montana Farm Bureau Federation. And it's an honor today to be here to support the confirmation of Amanda Castor for the director of the Department of Natural Resources. I first got to know Ms. Castor back in 2015 when she worked for then Congressman Zinke. And as you will not surprise this committee, even though we're an organization of farmers and ranchers, a lot of the issues that we care about go into that natural resource world. And so I got to work with her in that capacity and always found her to be very smart and very responsive. And I've already heard that from a number of the other proponents today. She was wonderful at genuinely listening to the concerns of my farmer and rancher members and helping us find solutions and just really taking their perspectives into consideration. This continued when she went to the Department of Interior. There was an occasion when I had some members in Washington, D.C. for a meeting at Interior, and we didn't have an appointment with her, but we saw that Ms. Castor was in her office and got to stop in, and she took the time to visit with the farmers and ranchers that had traveled all the way out to D.C. to hear what was new in Montana, what was important to them, what our priority issues were, how we could work together with the agency. And so it's not a surprise that now that when she came here to Montana, she has reached out to my organization as well as many others to already ask us what issues are important to us, what our priorities are, how the agency can better serve our members, which we really appreciate. And we had a great discussion about water, trust lands, fire, forestry, all of these super important things. As you've heard, she has vast experience and a very diverse background in natural resources. So I know she's going to make a great leader for this very important agency and will serve the state of Montana well, and I would appreciate your support on this as well. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Krista Lee Evans. I'm here today on behalf of the Senior Water Rights Coalition and AGGI, the Association of Gallatin Agricultural Irrigators. Unlike others who have served as proponents, I did not know Director Castor before today. Not today, before she moved to Montana, I apologize. But to her credit, she did reach out to us as water users, and she is committed to working with us to improve efficiencies and the effectiveness of DNRC while at the same time protecting our property rights. I look forward to working with her, and I think that she's a good fit for us, and we can really take Montana DNRC to the next level. And we wholeheartedly support her confirmation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Vice Chair Small, members of the committee, my name is Shelby DeMars, D-E-M-A-R-S, here today on behalf of myself, the United Property Owners of Montana, and also the Montana Association of Oil, Gas, and Coal Counties. We wish to support the nomination of Ms. Castor, or the confirmation of Ms. Castor. She has made a very lasting impression, specifically on some of our members with the oil, gas, and coal counties. On several occasions, and I've heard no shortage of stories like this, we had a group of members in D.C. Not only did she take the time to sit down and listen to their concerns, but when they had brought up that they had had difficulty reaching someone within the agency, she immediately shot out of her chair and went, found that person, brought them into the meeting, and they proceeded to have their discussion. And I think that's a great example of the type of proactive nature that she will bring to the state of Montana. We've had no shortage of stories like that. I've known Amanda since she first started with then Congressman Zinke. She's extremely knowledgeable. She gets things done. She doesn't pass the buck. If there is something that needs to be done, regardless of how difficult it is, she tackles it proactively. And above all, she keeps her word. When she says she's going to do something, she does it. And I think as she made her statements to you today, I think you can take that to the bank because she's, like I said, very proactive and someone that the state of Montana can count on and someone who will not let you down. So we would encourage your confirmation of Ms. Castor. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Mike Murphy, representing the Montana Water Resources Association. We also wish to go on record in support of the confirmation of Ms. Castor's. As you heard, for all the reasons, we feel that Ms. Castor's will provide the leadership that we need within the Department of Natural Resources to facilitate the use, good stewardship and use of our land and water resources. And specifically from the standpoint of our water issues, we look forward to working with Ms. Castor in regards to the, hopefully not too far down the road, the completion of our water right adjudication program for the state of Montana. So with that, again, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, we stand in support of the confirmation of Ms. Castor's. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, Clayton Elliott, E-L-L-I-O-T-T. I'm here today representing Trout Unlimited and Montana Trout Unlimited, and want to go on record full-heartedly supporting the confirmation of Ms. Castor to the Director of Department of Natural Resources and Conservation. Certainly, we have a long record of working with Ms. Castor and back to her days, as many have talked to you about, with then-Congressman Zinke, working with her in Washington, D.C. And in this role particularly, I think that her expertise and experience managing a diverse portfolio brings her into a unique position for us as water users and practitioners of water. Certainly her leadership in the Water Resources Division, in the adjudication process, and et cetera, is something that we look forward to being able to work as a partner with her as in her role in a leadership position at the department. So just wanted to go on record and appreciate her putting her name out there and stepping up to do this, and thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Jay Bodner, representing the Montana Stockgrower Association and the Montana Cattlewomen. We also appreciate this opportunity to stand in front of you and support Amanda Castor for the director of DNRC. Me, similar to in our organization, similar to the many of the others, we had the pleasure of working with Congressman Zinke and certainly within the Department of Interior. She does have a broad range of experience with land resource issues, forestry, multiple use land management. But one of the things that Director Castor did mention in her testimony was outcome-based grazing. That was within the Department of Interior. And really, I guess for us, looking at that program is, we have a program, how do we make it better? How do we make it more proactive? She took the lead on that, and certainly that's the kind of philosophy that we anticipate her bringing to the Department of DNRC. So she's also been very willing, as many of others members have mentioned, to reach out to stakeholders, hear what your perspective is. How do we look at things that are working? How do we look at improving things? So we appreciate that willingness to work with the stakeholders and look at ways to improve things. So with that, we do stand in support of Amanda Castro. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Mr. Vice Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Mark Taylor. Today I'm appearing before you on behalf of Idaho Forest Group. Obviously, Director Castor has a long track record of getting things done in D.C. We look forward to her bringing that same rigor, energy, and passion to the new position here in Montana. Just a bit about Idaho Forest Group. We're kind of the new players on the block here in Montana with the purchase of the mill in St. Regis. Over the last couple of years, we've dumped almost $50 million into upgrades to that mill. And so we look forward to working with the new director and her team to promote sustainable timber activities here in Montana. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any more proponents in the room or the hallway? Okay, seeing no more proponents in the house. Let's go to Zoom. I have a list here, and I'm just going to work my way down the list from the top. So we have Gary Wines.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. We rise in strong support of Amanda Castor for Director of DNRSC. A little bit about the electric cooperatives, because I think it adds to the credibility of our endorsement. The co-ops operate in all 56 counties. We are community-owned. Collectively speaking, we have our power lines in the state are long enough to extend all the way around the equator and then all the way around the north and south. We still have a couple thousand miles of power line left. So regards to Ms. Zinke, we first got to know her when she, of course, worked for then-Congressman Zinke. And Congressman Zinke had this wonderful idea of legislation that would streamline the management of vegetation in right-of-ways, federal right-of-ways, working to control presence of hazard trees and things like that that can cause wildfires, which is a big issue and concern for the electric cars. And we found her to just be very responsive and I think she was instrumental in moving that legislation forward, which, as you probably are aware, did become law and has been proven to be beginning to be effective in helping streamline the management of those right-of-ways. Later, as you know, she went to work for the Interior Department, and I thought she'd be difficult to access when she got to that position, but it was the same Ms. Zinke. She was very accessible, very responsive. We needed her help on some sage-grouse issues on the BLM land, and she helped us out on that and was working to support our efforts there. And so basically it's just a tremendous knowledge, a tremendous understanding of Montana issues, of our land and our people, and obviously great integrity. In fact, I was, regards to her knowledge and understanding, I was surprised to learn later that she was not a native Montana because she just consistently demonstrated such great knowledge and understanding of our state. So I think she's a gem. I think she's a great gift to our state. She'll serve well, not only the land, but most importantly, the people. And I urge your a strong due pass on her confirmation. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Next up, can we have Jim Simpson?
Mr. Chairman, can you hear me?
Yes.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Jim Simpson, S-I-M-P-S-O-N. I'm here today representing the Montana Association of Conservation Districts. The Montana Association of Conservation Districts enthusiastically supports the confirmation of Amanda Castor for Director of the Montana Department of Natural Resources and Conservation. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jim. Can we have Julia Ultimus?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
For the record, I'm Julia Ultimus. That is A-L-T-E-M-U-S. I reside in Missoula, Montana. And on behalf of the members of the Montana Wood Products Association, we are pleased to come before you with our support for Ms. Amanda Castor for the position of director of the DNRC. Several of our members, including myself, have known Ms. Castor during her tenure as resource staff to former Congressman Ryan Zinke, and more recently at the U.S. Department of Interior, and therefore believe she is the right person at the right time to lead the DNRC. Ms. Castor has a deep passion for sustainable forest management, both at the federal and state level. We believe she possesses the desire to further shore up communications and relationships between state government and our federal partners. She is keenly aware of the opportunities that lay ahead and is ready to lean into cross-boundary and jurisdictional opportunities that tackle the forest health crisis on over 9 million acres in Montana. She also has a deep appreciation of Montana's timber industry and the integral role the industry plays in supporting timber-dependent communities. She is acutely aware that Montana's forest products infrastructure is critical not only to the success of the Trust Lands Timber Program, but also to the continued success of the Good Neighbor Authority Program in Montana. Ms. Castor has a proven track record in her field. We strongly believe that she has the necessary talent, skills, and abilities to lead the DNRC and all the programs that are important to the Montanans. Therefore, we respectfully ask for your support and thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you. Next up, we have Rebecca Boslow.
Mr. Chair, I do not see Ms. Boslow online right now.
All righty. Just tell me if she swings back in there. Okay. Mr. Brian Steed.
Hello, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Excellent. My name is Brian Steed. I've known, my last name is spelled S-T-E-E-D. I have known Amanda Castor for the past 4 years. I got to know her in Washington, D.C. while she and I were both working for the U.S. Department of Interior. And at that time, I was working as the Deputy Director of Policy and Programs at the Bureau of Land Management. Upon meeting Ms. Castor, I was immediately impressed by her work ethic, her level of organization, and her ability to work with a wide variety of actors on complex policy matters. She's smart, she understands natural resources policy, and is dedicated to the public good. In fact, I was so impressed with her that I encouraged Ms. Castor to join the team at the BLM. And after she joined BLM, I asked her to serve as acting chief of staff for the organization, a job she fulfilled with distinction. She's an excellent project manager, an excellent leader, and she accomplishes what she sets out to do. Perhaps most importantly, Amanda's a good person who strives to do the right thing to help people. In sum, she's one of the finest public servants with whom I've had the chance to interact. I'm absolutely confident that she will serve the state of Montana well, and I highly recommend her to the position. Thank you so much.
All righty, thank you. And next up, Mr. Ryan Zinke. You're muted. There you go. We can hear you.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And for the record, I'm Ryan Zinke, and nice to see a citizen legislature operating in the great state of Montana. You know, I first met Amanda when Senator Snow was retiring, and she called me directly as a young then, congressman-elect, and she said, if you hire one person on natural resources, it's got to be Amanda. And she was absolutely right. During my tenure as congressman, she led a tribal recognition of the Little Shell. She led public access, multiple use, stewardship, water compacts, co-ops, all the issues that are important to Montana, and it boils down to natural resources, how important public access is and use of our natural resources in the state. And then when she came over to Interior, she was one of the principal architects behind the Great American Outdoors Act, the largest investment in the history of this country for our national parks and forest infrastructure. She led the water compacts with the Blackfeet tribe and the Salish Kootenai. She, when fires occurred in eastern Montana, within 48 hours, she helped the BLM open up grazing for ranchers. She rebuilt Sperry. We made sure we protected the Yellowstone. In every one of those actions, Amanda was in the middle. And I can tell you up front, Montana will be terrifically served by Amanda, and I can't think of any position that is more important in Montana, given how important our natural resources are for everybody. And lastly, I think the strength of Amanda has always been to listen. You know, Montana is not about being a Republican or a Democrat. It's about being a Montana and protecting what our legacy is and what was given to us by our predecessors. So in that, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I strongly urge you a due pass on Ms. Castor. Thank you, and God bless America.
Thank you, sir. All right. Next up, we have Jocelyn Cahill.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I am Jocelyn Cahill, C-A-H-I-L-L. Today, I am here to offer support to my friend Amanda Castor as director of the DNRC. I've known Amanda since 2013 when we were both working at a bipartisan think tank. We then transitioned to working for then-Congressman Ryan Zinke, where Amanda served as his natural resource aide. In this role, I watched her work tirelessly on so many important issues for Montana, from forest management to ensuring public access to public lands to protecting energy jobs. There was never an issue Amanda wasn't willing to tackle if it meant it would benefit Montana. I know she will continue to fight for issues important to Montana, and because of that, I know she will make a great director. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Next up, can we have Tammy Johnson?
Mr. Chair, Tammy Johnson is no longer on Zoom.
All righty. Thank you. Are there any remaining people on Zoom for proponent?
Mr. Chair, I do not see any.
Do we have any opponents in the room? Seeing none, do we have any opponents on Zoom?
There are no opponents on Zoom, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Do we have informational witnesses in the room? Okay. Do we still have an informational witness on Zoom?
Mr. Chair, we do not.
All right. So that takes care of all witnesses. Do we have questions from the committee? Senator Conar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and this is for Ms. Castor, please. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Ms. Castor. I just wanted to follow up on what a couple of people were talking about, and I am thrilled to hear that folks that, you know, care about senior water rights in the state of Montana are supportive of your directorship. But I do want you to just talk a little bit about what you think about that. One thing that we did during this interim as a water policy interim committee is spend time on trying to figure out if we could make permitting and that sort of thing easier for folks. But what we really found out during that discussion is that permitting and all of that is as hard as it kind of needs to be to provide that natural attention that essentially protects resources and protects senior water rights in the state. So I'd like your thoughts on that, sort of what your philosophy is, because Montana is a pretty special place. You know, the people don't own the water. They just get to put it to use. So I'd like your thoughts on that.
Thank you for that question, Senator. I'm committed to working with stakeholders and experts and lawyers in the field, including, you know, I have the benefit of working for Lieutenant Governor Juris on these really significant issues, and I understand how important water is to the state of Montana. I'm excited to be able to work within the agency with some new leadership in the Water Rights Division. We have Anna Peckenham Stevenson. She's relatively new, but brings a wealth of experience, and so I'm looking forward to, I think it's a, you know, an opportunity to coordinate not only with staff in the agency, but with these really critical stakeholders to talk through these important issues. And I think, you know, addressing backlogs is certainly possible while also recognizing the mechanisms that we have in order to process these permits. So I look forward to working with you and other stakeholders on this very important issue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions from committee? Senator Gillespie.
Yes, Mr. Chair. While you're still up there, Amanda, I get the sense, you know, just listening to you and everybody else that you see that there could be a real strong relationship between utilization of our natural resources as far as and conservation at the same time. In other words, that synergistic effect that lets everything be a win-win if you just approach it properly. Just a comment or two on that, if you would.
Sorry, you broke up a little bit at the end. So multiple use and the balance between conservation and development.
Right, yeah. In other words, conservation as well as utilization, the combination effect.
So I think my opportunity working at the Bureau of Land Management, I got to see that in full force and effect. It's so interesting to work for an agency that is required by law to do multiple use. And with that, I got to see how we balance these difficult questions. I do think it's important to develop our natural resources responsibly and follow the law. I think that there are opportunities to find those balances with programs like the Land and Water Conservation Fund, which, you know, as part of the Great American Outdoors Act, was fully funded. So I appreciate the comments, and having worked in multiple use, I can see how it is able to work.
All righty, thank you. Do we have other questions? Committee, Senator Lang.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Ms. Castro, welcome, and thank you for being here today. I'm great to hear that you know about Montana. One of the things that I was surprised when I came to Helena was Helena seems to know a lot about the Forest Service, but you know a lot where I come from. We're concerned about the Bureau of Land Management. And how do you see the Bureau of Land Management going forward? I think I heard, and I'm sure I've heard in your processes, that you support grazing of livestock, and we know that's a great resource for managing the grasslands. But we also have a very big project in Montana that is my part of the world, the Milk River. And the past director and supported that really well, and I see in your resume where you're very responsive to the BOR, which is the Milk River irrigation is controlled by the BOR system. And last year when we had the failure, I was very amazed that the BOR kind of stepped aside and let the Milk River Joint Board of Control manage that project. And I just wonder what your support could be. Could we count on your support for the Joint Board of Control for the Milk River?
I'd be happy to work with you on that, Senator, and I'm actually going to be meeting with those folks here shortly, and I'm excited to, you know, I was tracking it at a really high level at Interior. Although it was a reclamation issue, I remember hearing how important it was when the commissioner came out and they were able to roll out what they were able to do. I think my time at Interior has really shown me how important it is to work with folks, and working with BLM, Bureau of Reclamation, these are all going to be key stakeholders as we work toward a lot of these really important priorities. So I look forward to working with you on that, Senator.
Thank you, Ms. Castor.
Thank you, Senator Hovind.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Castor. Question I have is, in this role that you've been appointed to, you're going to have the governor's ear. Now, are you going to limit your comments to him just concerning matters of the DNRC, or will you comment on other matters that are important to the state of Montana?
So I will certainly be advising him on natural resources issues, but if I'm a good advisor to the governor, that means I'm bringing the full picture to him. It's not just the perspective of the agency, it's the perspective of our stakeholders, our constituents. I think in order for me to be a good advisor to the governor, I need to give that full perspective and help walk him through so that when that way, if he makes a decision, he knows the full scope of that decision and what it means.
Okay. All right. Senator Paul Mikowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For Ms. Castor, I have several questions for you, Ms. Castor. Thank you for being here today. You described your opportunity to travel the state on occasion in previous roles. I'm curious about your familiarity with Montana and how long you've been in the state.
Thank you for the question, Senator. So I was able to move out here the first week of January, but when I worked for then-Congressman Ryan Zinke, I got to spend quite a bit of time driving around the state, and boy, is it an education when you're in a car for hours. And my first trip to Montana, I flew into Bozeman, and we worked our way all the way to Miles City, stopping in Colstrip on the way, and then I ended in Whitefish. But getting to see the real diversity of this state from the east to the west, you know, coming from a military family, I didn't really have anywhere to call home, per se. But being in Montana, I just felt so comfortable, and being able to sit down with constituents and hear their concerns, talk through issues, that was an education in and of itself. So I'm excited. You know, I tried to come back to Montana a couple times a year when I was at Interior, but being here now, I'm really committed to going out, getting on the road, meeting with stakeholders, constituents, going to your districts, and hearing about what your thoughts are about DNRC and ways that we can, you know, be efficient, be responsive.
Thank you. Follow-up, Mr. Chairman.
Follow-up.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Castor, in your opening, you talked about active management of forest lands, and I'd like you to elaborate about what you mean. The way you described it, it sounded as though you would encourage an aggressive management of timber harvest, and I'm curious about that perspective versus more of a preventative approach with wildland fire risk and, you know, operating within what our laws allow.
Thank you for the question, Senator. So in my mind, active management means a variety of different things, but I think first and foremost is using all of the tools available, tools that are created in law, like the Good Neighbor Authority, that was then expanded in 2018 to include tribes and counties. We have so many authorities that Congress has given us that I think if we have the ability to use them, we should. And during my time at the BLM, we created a number of administrative authorities. And so what that meant is that we took the best available science, we ran that through a very vigorous public comment process and a process involving other federal agencies, and finalizing those then enables the agency to use that tool. So I know that the BLM has a variety of tools like salvage treatments, like pinyon juniper removal, that if we can look at a landscape scale, cross boundaries, we can look at the variety of tools and determine the best tools to address the need. But as I noted in my remarks, there are over 9 million acres of high-risk acreage in Montana. 9 million. That is an incredible amount of acreage that needs to be treated. And so I'd like to find the way, consistent with the laws, the regulations, and the tools, to find the way to best manage those impacted acreage. Because, you know, I worry about a bad fire season and what that would mean to the state of Montana. So, you know, I think, like I said, active management means a lot of things, but it's being thoughtful and using the tools we have available to achieve that outcome.
Thank you. Follow-up, Mr. Chairman?
Follow-up.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Castor, then, along with active management, I'd like your opinion on the public trust doctrine with relation to our natural resources, and especially your department.
So state trust lands have a really unique mandate to produce revenues to provide for common schools. And coming from the Bureau of Land Management that had a multiple use mandate, it's really interesting to see what my agency is required to do to provide for Montana schools and students. So I take that mission really seriously, and that the requirement in the law. I come from a family of teachers. So if we can create revenues to go towards schools and students, I think that makes sense. But, you know, I also think, too, that how that process plays out is important. And so that's why, you know, I'm a member of the land board. Land board, I staff the land board. The governor is the chair. But, you know, we play a really important role and hear out public input about how best to use these lands to generate that revenue. And I'm excited by the team I've seen in DNRC that are really thoughtful about that mandate. So I look forward to working with them as well as my constituents on this really important issue.
Follow up, Mr. Chairman.
Follow up.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Castor, then I'd like to change direction here just a bit. One of our previous department directors kind of cast this in a different light by saying that the director doesn't need to be the expert on everything, that you have a department full of experts. That is true. So I would like your opinion on two questions. I'd like to know what plans you or the administration have for changes to divisions or personnel.
Thank you for the question, Senator. So at this time, I've been in the job for a month, so I'm still meeting with all of my staff, but I can say that we've had really fruitful discussions, and I've been really grateful to them as they've worked to get me up to speed on the various issues that their divisions are facing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't think I got an answer to my question. I realize that you're familiarizing yourself with the agency, which is great, but does the administration have plans for changes to divisions or personnel?
Senator, at this time, I can't comment on that. Like I said, I am new to the job and still engaging with my employees and with my division administrators.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, another follow-up, please.
Yes, one follow-up.
Mr. Chairman and Ms. Castor, I'm curious then about your skills as a personnel in personnel management and, you know, experience that you may have had with recruiting, hiring, firing, performance plans, personnel for specific tasks, all of that kind of thing. It seems to me that with the wealth of knowledge and duties in your department, that this skill will be particularly important. And from what I saw in your resume and what I've heard, I'm not sure that I understand if you have personnel management experience. Can you describe that for me?
Absolutely. So when I was at the BLM, I managed an immediate team of about 20 staff, and in that capacity, worked on, you know, a variety of the performance planning process. Also worked more broadly on recruitment for the agency to fill vacancies. Helped review and craft those. Trying to think of the way we have a way of describing it in the federal government, but essentially those position descriptions. Helping to ensure that we were going to be filling the needs of the agency. I was also involved in the very interesting process on the federal government side of interviewing and selecting talent for the agency. I got to interview some really incredible people for really critical positions, including the chief of staff position for the Bureau, and got to really dive into the weeds. And, you know, in addition to that, there's other components in the federal government, too, of reviewing resumes and doing ratings. So I was very involved in that process as well. So what I'll leave you with is this. At the BLM, I got to pull in really amazing people to inform the team. And that just wasn't the immediate team I managed. This was working with state directors, people that we work with all the time here in Montana, or the assistant directors. These are the policy points of contact in the headquarters office. I worked with them to build teams, bolster those teams to achieve outcomes. So I feel confident that my experience at the BLM will allow me to lead this agency forward.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Do we have any other questions from the committee? Okay, seeing none. Oh, whoops, sorry. Senator Flowers.
Senator Aiken.
You're muted, Senator Flowers.
Give us something on and smile.
Still can't hear you. You're not coming through at all. There you go. I can hear something there.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I have a question for Mr. Clinch, if he is still happens to be in the hallway.
He's gone.
We're looking. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Senator Flowers, he's left the building.
Okay. Well, then I have some questions for Ms. Castor, please.
Ms. Castor.
Ms. Castor, so, Mr. Chair, Ms. Castor, you talked about your experience. I just want to make sure I understand it. So, your experience with the working for the BLM directly on it, kind of an agency role, was for 2.5 years, is that correct?
It was about 2 years.
It was about 2 years.
Correct.
Okay. That's what I thought. Okay, thank you. The other question I have is, comes from some of my experience there in the department, and Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, follow-up.
Follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Ms. Castor. The trust land responsibilities in the department, I think, are very interesting to work in, and I think challenging and rewarding in a lot of ways. One of the things that I have, that I know the department has puzzled over at times is what lies beyond their responsibility for generating revenue to support schools. So if I can just indulge you for a second. The way it's stated in 77.1202 is, in the exercise of these powers, the guiding principles that these lands and funds are held in trust for the support of education and for the attainment of other worthy objects helpful to the well-being of the people the state has provided for in the Enabling Act. Can you explain to me what you would view as other worthy objects and how you would approach their management?
All right. So that's a great question, Senator, and it is not one that I have thought of. And so what I would say in response to that is I would really want to work with my state trust land staff, our stakeholders, and most importantly, our lawyers, on what that language means for our obligations and what that would mean moving forward as well. So I would certainly appreciate the opportunity to speak with you about that further as I continue to dive into the legal obligations of state trust lands.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Ms. Castor, and thank you for that answer. And I'd be happy to talk more about that. Maybe one last question, if I could, Mr. Chair.
Yes, one last question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Ms. Castor. You talked about some of your goals, active management being one, customer service being another, and you know, obviously I'm supportive of both of those. In your conversations with your staff over the last month, have you recognized any particular challenges or hurdles there in achieving both of those? Achieving both of those goals, I guess.
Thank you for the question, Senator. So I was really excited last week when we were able to brief on our budget and walk through all the successes we've experienced on the Good Neighbor Authority program. I think how amazing that Congress gave us that authority, but through the thoughtfulness of the Forestry Division, they've been able to take that program and really grow it into something that is quite successful. And I was quite astounded by the amount of support we had from our stakeholders in that. And so I think, you know, a challenge to that is really taking that momentum and using that to get things done. And that's why I'm really excited by the group of stakeholders that have been engaged on this topic, the Forest Action Plan, which DNRC accomplished back in December of this past year. I think that really lays a framework. Now it's how do we execute? So I'm really excited to work with folks like Montana Wood Products Association and others to have those discussions around execution of that. In terms of customer service, you know, one thing I've noticed at the agency is that I think we can do a better job of highlighting the successes of our staff in the field. I think I've heard amazing stories about staff being creative to get things done, and I think if we're going to really showcase the thoughtful and you know, great work that the DNRC is doing, we need to highlight our folks in the field that are actually getting these things done. And I'm excited to be able to do that and also look at how we interface with the public. I think that's a key part of customer service, to do things like update some of the internal processes that are maybe slightly outdated, or updating our website to ensure that we're actually going to be giving the public the information it needs. So I, you know, those are challenges, but they're also opportunities, and I'm excited. I think that staff in the field are doing great work, and we should take those successes and really highlight them, show the public what we're doing.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Castor, thank you for that, and I really appreciate your comments on your employees. I think you've got amazing employees in the department, several that I've worked with over the years, and look forward to what you can achieve in working with them. So welcome to Montana, and look forward to great things with DNRC. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Senator Engdon.
This, Mr. Chairman, Ms. Castor, I was really thrilled of your support of the Good Neighbor Policy, something that myself and Representative Keene have been working on for almost the 16 years I've been here. And I was, the other thing I was going to mention, this is more like a proponent, but I can do what I want. In visiting with you both through Congressman Zinke's office, and then a problem we had that we came to D.C. with, and the quick resolution to that, I think it shows that you do get things done, and you are a proponent of things that are important to Montana. And to bring the BLM and these other agencies, get them involved in this Good Neighbor Policy, is an absolute win-win. I'd ask you to dig more coal, but that might be a hill too steep to climb right now. Maybe next year, but I'd like to thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you. Do we have any more questions from the committee? All right, seeing no more questions, Senator Welborn, would you care to close on Senate Resolution number 53?
I would, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Thanks for a great hearing. I can't add a whole lot to what was probably already said about the scores of people that testified that have personal experiences with Director Castor. I know that when she did work for Congressman Zinke, she traveled to my area and looked at a couple of projects, and that meant something to my constituents. In fact, there's been a couple things that were resolved out of that meeting that hadn't been before. And I also know that being involved with our local BLM office and a BLM permittee myself and my family, that the BLM is absolutely a different place to do business with than it was in previous administrations. It's not my opinion, that's a fact. I would like to just touch for a second. I think we're all proud. I think everybody on this committee is proud to be from Montana. And I think we all have varying degrees of experience as Montanans. But Mr. Chairman, with all due respect to you, I think you're the only person in this room that can actually claim multi-generation of being a Montanan. So I think that we all need to step back and take a look at things with this, especially during this pandemic. We all represent different people than we used to. We've all got people in our district that we didn't represent before. And I think having a fresh perspective from outside to lead this agency is going to be a step in the right direction when it's somebody that has the talent and the leadership skills that Amanda does. That was evident today in some of the testimony. She made herself available to this committee in more ways than one. She met with anybody that wanted to meet with her personally. She made a Zoom link available, and she answered all the questions, interestingly enough, some of them two and three times. Anyway, Mr. Chairman, thanks for a great hearing today, and I ask for a due pass on her confirmation.
Thank you, Senator Walburn. That concludes the hearing on Senate Resolution number 53. And why don't you swing back over there? Would you care to open, Senator Walburn? Senate Resolution 51. Would you care to open on SR 51? Thank you.
Thank you. It feels like Groundhog's Day. In fact, that was just last week. Anyway, I am here to open on, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm here to open on Senate Resolution 51. It is a member on the Board of Environmental Review, and I would like to, if I may, step outside of this for just a second. There are more nominations forthcoming that were not ready when I ask the committee secretary to schedule this bill, and by the time I realized that I had made that mistake, it was too late to schedule the rest of them for today, so they will be up Wednesday. So we're just doing a single one on the Board of Environmental Review today. His name is Jeremiah Lynch. He hails from the town of Missoula, and there's a piece of paper in your file, so in the folder for today. So in the interest of brevity, I will let you thumb through that yourself and sit down and let the proponents tell you about Mr. Lynch. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Mr. Lynch, would you like to speak?
Yes, I would. First of all, in terms of proponents, I would like to notify the committee that the first notification that I had of this hearing was at 12 o'clock today. I would have loved to meet with you in person. That made it impossible. Why that happened, I don't know, so I don't have any proponents like the last obviously qualified woman did. So anyway, I received notification I'm appearing by Zoom. After I received notification that this was happening, and I'm here to answer any questions that the committee may have in terms of my qualifications to serve on the Board of Environmental Review. I was appointed, as you know, interim by Governor Bullock. You have my resume in front of you. And I guess what I would say is that if anybody has any questions about my credentials, I am here to answer those and answer those forcefully. But I would say for the committee's edification that the notification process should be better. With that, I'll stand for any questions that any of the members of the committee have.
All righty, sir. We'll get to that. Lieutenant Governor Juris, did you have an intro? Okay. Do we have any proponents just by chance out in the hall? No?
That would be impossible.
Got you, sir. All right. Senator Welburn. Okay. Do we have opponents anywhere? I still have to ask. I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair, I do have two proponents on Zoom. I haven't seen them raise their hand yet, so I'm not sure if they are speaking or not.
Okay. Would you care to cut one of them in? What are you proponents on Zoom? One of you. Feel free.
I'll bring in Mr. Arthur Robinson.
They're here for 52, the next bill.
Gotcha. Okay. Sorry about that, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Informational. Either which way. Seeing none, questions from the committee. Senator Kohenauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And could I ask Mr. Lynch a couple of questions, please?
Please do.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman and Mr. Lynch, I'd like you to take us through a little bit of your background in your time on the Board of Environmental Review. And what is your unique what do you bring to the board that you think that this committee ought to know about?
What I bring to the board is both a scientific and legal background. I graduated from Carroll College with a degree in biology and a minor in chemistry. I proceeded to Montana State and received a master's degree in zoology and with emphasis in genetics. I attended the University of Montana Law School, graduated there, and then in my practice, both as a lawyer and as a judge, I engaged in many environmental cases, including the resolution as a settlement master of Montana's Department of Natural Resources damage claim against ARCO related to the Butte Anaconda Superfund site, which resulted in a $525 million settlement. So as in my experience as a judge, which I've been for the last, until I retired in last August, I was a federal judge for almost 14 years. And in that capacity, I dealt with a lot of environmental cases across the board. So what I bring to this board, I believe, is number one, a scientific background, number two, a legal background, and number three, good judgment. And when I say that, I'm able to, throughout my career, I had to assess a multitude of informations, digest that information, and make an informed decision based upon the facts and in a fair manner. That's what I bring to this board.
A follow-up, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Lynch, I appreciate that. I think that you bring a unique talent to the Board of Environmental Review. Can you talk about one of the biggest things, because you're on the board at this moment, am I correct?
I am on this board at this moment, obviously appointed by Governor Bullock on an interim basis, which maybe I shouldn't get into this, but I'm going to state it. Historically, the interim appointments have been confirmed by the Senate. This is a unique situation, as I understand it, as we move forward. But anyway, I interrupted your question, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And that's all right. That is an area I kind of wanted to get into, because I feel like the notification of your appointment probably didn't bode well for you coming today. And I am glad that you showed up, because I think that the work that you do is important. So could you talk about something recent that the board has had to deal with, and why you brought your unique way of looking at it, and what that did to the findings?
The most recent decision that the board had to make was in relation to the selenium standards on the Kootenai River. In terms of what the level should be, understanding that the selenium that's in the Kootenai River and then goes into Kootenai Reservoir and downstream all comes from Canada. So the question was, should the board adopt a selenium standard? And the selenium standard proposed by the state, it was more than perhaps I would have liked, but nonetheless, it was reasonable. I can't give you the specifics. But in any event, the board approved that selenium standard, which was applauded, if you will, by, I think, both sides of the aisle in terms of environmental people and industry people. Anyway, I thought that was a very important decision. What I brought to that discussion was that several years ago, I acted as a mediator in federal court. I was a federal judge, mediated a dispute about the white sturgeon in the Kootenai River drainage, and they were being eliminated, if you will. They were put on the extinct species list. and I was able to negotiate a settlement between the federal government and the plaintiffs in the case, environmental groups, that hopefully will turn out to be productive in the end. When the Libby Dam was built, nobody knew or nobody took into consideration what the gestation, if you will, period for the white sturgeon was. It turns out it was about 40 years before the white sturgeon reached reproductive age. And of course, as you can imagine, that no one having considered that, then the white sturgeon were put in jeopardy. Hopefully, the settlement that that was reached between the stakeholders will save that species of fish, which is unique to Montana.
One last follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I would like to follow up on that last, the selenium standard and the work that was done by the Board of Environmental Review on that particular issue. Because I do think that there was an issue about Montana possibly being on the hook for the selenium that actually flowed through into another state. Could you talk about that aspect?
You know, I can't. I will say this, that Montana could, in fact, be on the hook for what flows from Canada through the Kootenai into Idaho. The tribes in Idaho, the Flathead tribe in Idaho has been spent a tremendous amount of money trying to save the sturgeon. Now, I can't give anybody a legal opinion as to whether the state of Montana would be on the hook for that, so to speak, but it's a concern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee, and Mr. Lynch. I guess I am not speaking as a proponent, but I've had the pleasure of knowing Mr. Lynch since 1981 and can speak to his character. In full disclosure, he's my uncle.
Well, that, I don't know if that's good or bad.
It's probably bad. Senator Hogan.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Lynch, do you believe that the cause of climate change is man-made, is settled science?
I'm not sure. Let me say this. I'm not sure that that's part of what I should be being asked as being on the Board of Environmental Review, but I would say this. In my career, I have been called upon to digest a lot of information in a short period of time. I assess the facts that are presented to me. I assess those very seriously, and then I come again, as a judge and as a lawyer, but more importantly as a judge, to a conclusion based upon the facts, whether I believe that something is yay or nay. Now, to ask me about environmental or climate change, I believe, and I will be honest with you, that there is a concern that we need to address, whether I can say it's man-made or not. It may not make any difference in the long run. What I do know, I believe, is that we have an issue.
Okay, further questions? Senator Flowers.
I think the senator's muted. I'm not hearing him.
He's Thank having. You. There you go.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I have a question for the sponsor.
Senator Wellborn.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Flowers.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wellborn. I want to make sure that we're fair to Mr. Lynch in this hearing, and I'm not sure what happened, and I'm not pointing any fingers at anybody on this. But is there, it sounds like we are going to be considering the other candidates on Wednesday, and I wonder if it would be fair if Mr. Lynch is interested in extending his hearing and allowing him to offer some proponents at that time and be given kind of a more fair notice on this hearing. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you, Senator Flowers. Mr. Chairman and Senator Flowers, yes, I was actually going to address that in my close. Now, I don't know what the rules say or if we can go into a long recess, but I was going to offer an ability for him to allow proponents to weigh in through whether it's through correspondence and email or whatever, and then I would make the commitment to make sure that the committee had that information as we deliberated in executive action, because that won't be done until Wednesday anyway, and then we could also allow a little bit of time then for people to, and then that way we meet the open meeting requirements and stuff without having to have a whole nother hearing. Would that be, does that sound something amenable to you, Mr. Vice Chair? I mean, we can work something out, but I was going to extend that offer because I like you. I've got to own the mistake, and absolutely will make the apology to Mr. Lynch. But moving forward, I want to be as fair as I can from this point to him to make sure that the people that he chooses to weigh in on his behalf have the opportunity to do that. So I'm committed to helping that happen.
May I speak, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
In terms of having proponents, I could line up 100 proponents. I don't know that it makes any difference. I'm concerned, and I ask you folks, especially you, Mr. Chairman, based upon what I understand, some of these committee board appointments are sort of preordained, that no matter how many proponents I would have, it may not make any difference. But at the end of the day, I will stand on my own. I have been a federal judge for 14 years. If anyone wishes to challenge my credentials, I'm more than happy to stand on my own, which I'm doing here today. And so I'm prepared to proceed today. I just wanted to point out to the committee that notification should be provided. But I am more than happy to finish this hearing today and move forward on your decision up or down on whether I'm qualified to serve on the Board of Environmental Review. As a matter of fact, I would take this opportunity to invite anyone on the board to question my credentials and my ability to sit on this board. And I would send that, I would say that to every member of the committee. If you don't think I'm qualified, state why, and I will address your concerns. Does anybody have any concern about my qualification?
Hold on, sir.
Mr. Vice Chair.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Vice Chair, no, I do not, sir, have any objection to your credentials. But I do know it is the purview of this committee to select whichever nominations we desire and we feel are the best, and that's the way I'll be voting as to who I think will fill this environmental quality position the best. Thank you.
And your name, sir, is?
I'm Senator Mike Lang from Malta, Montana.
And Mr. Lang, is there anything about my qualifications you question?
None whatsoever, sir, nor have I seen qualifications from other members that will be presented to this committee at this time.
Thank you. If you don't mind, I'd like to step back in order in this hearing.
I'm sorry?
I said, if you don't mind, I would like to go back in order of this hearing. I will continue to ask the committee if they have questions for you. Yeah, we're sorry about the mess up. I think what the good senator over here was trying to do was to you know, allow you some more time to realign. I don't think he was trying to be offensive and or standoffish about it. And with that being said, Senator Kohenhauer, do you have more questions?
I do, Mr. Chairman, and I'd like to ask Mr. Lynch a question.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I would like to follow up with you, Mr. Lynch. I think you have an opportunity to bring folks to the table and to this hearing. It's been offered by the chairman of this committee. I hope that you take advantage of it and bring those folks that think that you do a good job on this board. That's what these hearings are about. They are about qualifications and nominations and your ability to serve the people of Montana in the role that you've been nominated for. So I hope you do take advantage of it, whether that's having folks send letters of support for your nomination to this committee. I do hope that you will take advantage of that and bring it forward, because I think that's the stuff that will hopefully change minds. It's what we're all about, and I would hope that you would do so.
I would be more than happy to do that, given the limited time frame we're talking about. It seems like a practical impossibility. I think my credentials speak for themselves. And I do appreciate your comment. I can line up so many people, but I don't know that it's going to make any difference. And Mr. Wellborn, Chairman Wellborn, I would ask you, is all of this preordained?
Mr. Chair, I have to object. It's not, I don't generally do this. I mean, I allow a lot of freedom in what people say, but, it's the committee's here to ask the questions, not the person that we're talking with here.
Yes, sir. Point well taken. Let's go back to the committee asking questions, and I have a question from Senator Hovind.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Lynch. Mr. Lynch, are you aware that by law the governor must submit to the committee those people that were appointed during the interim? And as a follow-up to that, don't you think that the governor should have the ability to appoint the people that he would like to have on those boards?
I will express to you my understanding. It's my understanding that historically interim appointments by the previous governor have been honored. It's my understanding, and I'm not getting into the legal issue, but it's my understanding there may be a legal argument to that effect. What I do know is that it's been time honored for many, many years that interim appointments by an outgoing governor have been honored, and this is unusual. That's my understanding in response to your question.
Do we have other questions from the committee? Seeing none. Senator Wellborn, would you like to close on Senate Resolution 51?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thanks, committee members. And like I said, that was an honest offer, so I know it. Getting back to protocol, I will be chairing the committee when we go into executive action, and I will allow for a touch more latitude than normal to back up the honor or the offer that I made, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, with that being said, would somebody, I will offer this. We will recess this meeting, this particular Senate Resolution 51, until Wednesday to see if there's more material that shows up.
Fair enough, Mr.
Mr. Chair, may I make a statement?
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to submit anything else. My credentials, my qualifications speak for themselves. What I would like is for you folks to make a vote right now.
Excuse me, sir. We do executive action on a separate date. And with that, with that being said, would you just like to close this meeting, Senator Wellborn? Would you close on the bill? Closed? All right, good enough. That concludes the hearing on Senate Resolution number 51. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We have one remaining. Senate Resolution 52. Senator Welborn, would you care to open on this?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to open on Senate Resolution 52. I am Senator Jeff Welborn, Senate District 36, and that would be in confirming and consenting to the appointment of water well contractors. And I am not... It looks like there's just one person on this nomination. Is that what I'm... saying? And then, Mr. Chairman, I was told, and I would ask for the committee's indulgence. There's a Mr. Art Robinson that, in the times that we live in, signing up for the Zoom, signed up as an informational witness, and he would rather be considered a proponent. And if you would allow him that latitude, I would respectfully ask for that, Mr. Chair. Other than that, I will sit down and. Let the people that come to share their experiences with this nominee to share that with the committee, and I reserve my right to close.
Okay, no problem. I'll allow Art Robinson as a proponent here later. Okay, who's opening?
Good evening, Mr. Vice Chair and members of the committee, Rhonda Wiggers, W-I-G-G-E-R-S, and I'm here on behalf of the Montana Water Well Drillers Association, and we are standing in enthusiastic support of Pat Byrne. He has been serving on this board previously. This is a carryover appointment, but Pat's been serving on this board for many, many years. He and his son are owners of Pat Byrne Drilling Company in Great Falls. They drilled my wells. Mr. Byrne has been a licensed water well contractor since 1978. His son is now taking over the company, but he was a second generation. So this company is a third generation Montana family-owned business. He is a past president of the Montana Water Well Drillers Association and still a very active member, as was his dad before him and as his son and daughter-in-law are now. So we are enthusiastically supporting him. He does a great job of keeping the board and our members, it's representing our members on this board, and we would hope that you would endorse him. I have a lot more about him, but I believe that the director of the Board of Water Well Contractors would like the honor of being able to tell you his accolades as well. So I will leave that to Mr. Robinson.
Okay, thank you. Next, do we have another proponent in the room? Do we have proponents on Zoom? Art Robinson, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, committee members, I am Art Robinson, R-O-B-I-N-S-O-N. I am the program manager of the Montana Board of Water Well Contractors. Mr. Steve Story, who is Water Operations Bureau Chief for the DNRC and appointed member representing the DNRC on the board, is available also today for questions. The Board of Water Well Contractors supports the confirmation of Mr. Byrne. The Board of Water Well Contractors consists of five members. Three members are appointed by state agencies, the DNRC, the Department of Environmental Quality, and the Bureau of Mines and Geology. Each appoint one member. Two members of the board are appointed by the governor's office. And the appointees from the governor's office must be licensed water well contractors and submit application for board appointments to the governor's office. Mr. Byrne is not with us today. He had a scheduling conflict. And a short bio is, yes, Mr. Byrne did drill with his father. He was in business with his brother for a long time, Pat Byrne Drilling out of Great Falls. Now his son, Tyler Byrne, is taking over the business. Mr. Byrne was first appointed to the Board of Water Well Contractors in 1992 and has been serving as a chairman of the committee, of the board, since 1997. Prior to Mr. Burns' appointment to the Board of Waterwell Contractors, he was involved with the Board of Waterwell Contractors when they did the transition from the Department of Commerce to the DNRC in 1985 by legislative action. Many of the rules and regulations that are in place at this time for well construction standards were brought to pass with Mr. Burns' involvement in that. Mr. Burns' 43 years of water well and monitoring well drilling experience, plus his 29 years of serving on the Board of Water Well Contractors, plays a key factor in conducting board business, which includes, and is not limited to, budgeting, rulemaking to set construction standards, and mitigating complaints between well owners and well drillers. Mr. Chairman and committee members, the Board of Water Well Contractors asks that this committee and the Senate confirm Mr. Burns' appointment. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have more proponents on Zoom?
Mr. Chair, we have Mr. Steve Story, but I don't see his hand raised.
We have him down as an informational. Also, Mr. Story, are you on Zoom?
Oh, yeah. Here he comes, sir.
Good afternoon, Mr. Vice Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Steve Story, S-T-O-R-Y, and I am the chief of the Water Operations Bureau at DNRC. I also serve as a member on the Board of Water Well Contractors for the DNRC as the DNRC appointee, and I am here to express my support for confirmation of Mr. Byrne to the Board of Water Well Contractors. His resume speaks for itself, but also in working with Mr. Byrne on the board over the last 5 years, I can say that he provides leadership to the board and exceptional institutional and practical knowledge based on his experience. And he just takes a common sense approach, and we fully support his confirmation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Let the record show that Steve Story was down as a proponent instead of informational. Thank you. Do we have anyone else on Zoom?
No, we do not, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Do we have opponents? Opponents on Zoom?
No, Mr. Chair, we do not.
All right, thank you. Seeing no more, we will ask questions from the committee. Questions from the committee? All right. Seeing no questions. Senator Wellborn, would you like to close on Senate Resolution 52?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I respectfully ask for a due pass to this confirmation. And I would like respectfully close on Senate Bill or Senate Resolution number 52, Mr. Chairman.
All righty, thank you.
All right. Thank you, committee members. And again, I feel a little bit responsible for not a lot we could do about it, but for my tardiness. So I would like to apologize for that. I didn't realize that I had a hearing in the House until late on Friday, and it was too late to cancel the appointment. So I was kind of the tale of being in two places at one time, so everybody did the best they could, and I thank the people in the House for accommodating me down there. It is getting late, but I think what I would like to do is this resolution that we just heard on Mr. Byrne, there is no reason why we can't take action on that today. And then also on the director's appointment, we can certainly take action on that today. The other one we'll wait until Wednesday like we agreed to do, and then when the rest of those come in that are already on the docket for Wednesday, we will have those hearings and go from there. But anyway, if just out of respect for everybody in the room, let's get up and stretch our legs and be back here. Let's be back here shortly after 5:30 and do our executive action, then we'll be done for the day. So it's up to you. I'm just extending the opportunity. I'm good with the Mr. Vice Chair, what is your feeling on this? Because we can rip and ride, but I just want to afford everybody the courtesy of...
Just for clarification, we're doing the Board of Water Well Contractors.
Senate Resolution 52 and then Senate Resolution 53.
Yeah, let's just do it now. It'd be my opinion.
Is that agreeable to you, Mr. Vice Chair Flowers?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. All right, let's do Senate Resolution 52. We'll go in numerical order. So, Mr. Vice Chair, would you move that resolution, please?
I move Senate Resolution number 52.
Senate Resolution number 52 has been moved. Do concur. And is there any discussion on that motion? Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It would seem that this gentleman has more than enough experience to represent the well drillers on this board, so I'm going to be a yes vote.
Thank you. Further discussion?
Question.
Question has been called. Let's do a voice vote on this. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chair, I move do concur on Senate Resolution 53.
Senate Resolution 53 has been moved, a do concur motion. I would like to open discussion on Senate Resolution 53. Discussion, please.
Question.
The question's been called on Senate Resolution.
Pomnikowski.
Senator Pomnikowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, the nomination for the director of DNRC is, in my mind, one of the most important in our state government. I think it's one of the most important state agencies responsible for the natural resources of our state, which I think we all hold dear. Mr. Chairman, Ms. Castor has no doubt the enthusiasm to serve in a natural resources agency. But with her few years of things like personnel management, with her really quite new familiarity with our state, I feel a duty to the department for a more experienced nominee. I have no doubt that Ms. Castor will have a great career, but I think she is of an age and at a level of experience in her career to be beginning a career at DNRC. When I think of the caliber of the people who have served as this agency's director, including one who stood today, Mr. Clinch, and the one who has just completed his service, Mr. Tubbs, Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry to say I cannot support this nomination. And it really has to do with the depth of knowledge, the diversity of our state, the depth and breadth of the issues that a director must face, things like personnel issues, and not to mention long-term versus immediate goals of the DNRC or immediate even problems. I think of things like state land management and, keeping those productive in perpetuity for the people of the state of Montana. But then something as immediate as the failure of Drop 5 at the St. Mary diversion and how DNRC had to just rise up and fix that in such an urgent and successful fashion. Mr. Chairman and members, I recognize that this nomination will be confirmed. And I sincerely hope that Ms. Castor is successful at the agency. But Mr. Chairman, this nominee, I just find, you know, for this, what amounts to a single afternoon's interview process and confirmation process by this committee and the Senate, I'm sorry to say I will not be supporting the nomination. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Flowers, you had your hand up. Is it down now, or did you have something you'd like to duly noted to Senator Pomnikowski? Senator Flowers, did you still have your hand up? Or I've got other people in the queue, but I wanted to give you an opportunity if you were still.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that. I'll, since you've recognized me, I'll offer just a few comments. I have similar concerns about the director nominee in terms of her experience. As she stated in response to my question, she has 2 years of experience in working in an agency and in any kind of supervisory kind of policy sort of capacity, and that gives me a lot of pause, having worked with a lot of other directors in that department over the years and seen the experience that is needed, so I'm disappointed that this nominee doesn't have that kind of experience. That said, I will vote to support her, hope that she can rise to the demands of the job and do a good job leading the department. Thank you.
Thank you, and duly noted, Senator Flowers. Okay, Senator Gillespie was next.
Mr. Chair, just a quick comment. There had to be a reason out of 50 nominees why she rose to the top as quickly as she did. I just liked her fresh approach, kind of can do, and on multiple levels, and I just found that awfully refreshing myself. So I'm sure willing to say yes.
Thank you, Senator Ankeny. Duly noted, Senator Gillespie. Thank you, Senator Ankeny.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm on the other end of the scale, and she's on the other end. I mean, she's young, I'm old. I think that's a definite advantage here. And as far as her administrative or her human resource skills, I think as director, she don't have to be so much involved in the day-to-day as directing the department. And having had her in Natural Resource Subcommittee for about 2 days talking about the different programs that the DNRC oversees, the Good Neighbor Policy, different programs, and her knowledge of those programs and how to move them forward, I have every confidence in the world that that young lady will prove to be an asset to this state.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I too want to support Ms. Amanda Castor for this DNRC job. Now, some of the things that were brought up, I think that the state lands is while maybe under DNRC, but it's under the agency of Mr. Sean Thomas. I think he's done a good job in that department. I think they'll be recognized, as well as other departments and staff of the DNRC. Ms. Castor has talked about she wants to listen to them. Everybody has to start new. Now, the mention was drop five, and Director Tubbs was here during that process. Director Tubbs was also involved when we initiated the problems with the St. Mary many years ago. And it was one of his, not that he wanted the catastrophe, none of us did, but Director Tubbs was very satisfied and very engaged in getting that process fixed. I think with a new generation, and we've gone there now, I think Director, if we nominate her, Director Castor will be very much engaged. She seems to have the ability to understand the programs and the issues, like it's been presented here by Senator Ankeny, of what DNRC is all about. And I think she'd be a very good selection for the state of Montana. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. The question has been called. Stewart, roll call vote, please.
Vice Chair Small.
Yes.
Vice Chair Flowers.
Yes.
Senator Ankeny.
Yes.
Senator Brown.
Yes.
Senator Cohenour.
Yes.
Senator Gillespie.
Yes.
Senator Hoven.
Yes.
Senator Jacobson.
Yes.
Senator Lang.
Yes.
Senator Lynch.
Yes.
Senator Pomnikowski.
No.
Chairman Wellborn.
Yes.
11 vote yes and 1 votes no.
Motion passes. Thank you. Committee, thanks for all of your work today, and I appreciate your time, and we will see you on Wednesday. This closes Senate Natural Resources.
Thank you.